All right, this is AP and Spencer, two lawyers talking college sports and sports law in general. AP, you're back from sunny Florida. How was your trip?
You know, it was really good, Spencer. I try once a year to get away with the family, you know, for a week or so and go somewhere. Somewhere different, you know, Mexico, Hawaii, Florida. And it's just a good time to take a pause, take a time out. And it was hot. I'll tell you that. It was in the 90s when we were walking around Magic Kingdom, sweating, holding kids. We wore masks inside the Magic Kingdom, but Florida is open otherwise. And in fact, had restaurants that were telling you no mask required, you know, don't need to wear a mask, that sort of thing. And I would say 80% of the population did not have a mask on. That was just walking around generally.
Wow.
So it's pretty open. But Disney had temperature checks. Wear a mask. I mean, there was one time it dipped below my nose a little bit, and one of the cast members came over, this Mickey or something, was like, you know, over your nose, you know, and so it's pretty ridiculous.
Did the person use the Mickey voice when they said put it over your nose?
And they didn't, and that's what disappointed me, because I'm like, this is the Magic Kingdom, and now this felt like just Bruce.
Make it happen.
This is just Bruce working a job, you know what I mean?
Guy comes up to you full Mickey Mouse costume, and just like, put your mask on.
Yeah, put your mask on over your nose. And I'm like, dude, my kids are upset about it. They're still talking about it. So they had a lot of fun, and we had a good trip there, and we got back this week, kind of getting back in the swing of things with back at the office, and but Oregon came back, and it's been 70s and 80s all week, and there's not much change.
You brought some heat back with
you. Yeah, yeah.
And Oregon now, the Governor Brown just came out yesterday and said, if you're fully vaccinated, you don't need to be wearing your mask anymore.
Yeah, indoors and most indoor venues and all outdoor venues and theaters, I think, are going to be opening up. Restaurants are opening up. I bet you, Spence, it sounds like here in the next few weeks, they're going to be issuing kind of we're open orders.
Yeah, that's
right. Yeah, and you know, things are going to just open it up. I know you're going to be at the movies with your family for sure.
Absolutely.
Right? And licking every doorknob you can, because I think you're vaccinated.
I'm fully vaccinated. You're fully vaccinated. Yeah. We're feeling good. So let's
No masks.
No masks, and let's get back to some normalcy.
Yeah, we're going to be traveling, I think, coming up to some schools. Things are going to be a different 2021 than 2020.
I hope so. Well, one thing that I'll tell you is different dealing with the NCAA is we got some new NIL rules, name, image, and likeness rules that are going to be happening.
Yeah.
In fact, Mark Emmert said he wants new NIL rules in place by July 1st. That's a month and a half away.
Yeah, it's a little ambitious, right? I mean, 5 weeks away, you're going to have new rules in place?
Well, so it's interesting because we've had a number of states, right? Mm-hmm. We have New York and Florida and Ohio and California. And now Georgia comes out with this new rule. And Georgia's law goes into place on July 1st. Now, Georgia's rule is different than the other ones. The other ones kind of don't put any restrictions on what student-athletes can make on their name, likeness, and image, kind of allowing a free market, right?
Yeah.
Again, we've talked about how that's going to cause some problems when it comes to compliance and how you're going to monitor this. And, you know, that's been the issue all along. Georgia's rule is a little bit different, right? So Georgia says that schools can't stop these student-athletes from making money off their name, likeness, and image. But it's unique because it gives the school the option to sign contracts with the athletes that would allow them to hold any athlete's earnings in a trust until after they graduate and even redistribute up to 75% of the earnings with other athletes at the school, right? And I feel like I remember you talking to me, and I think we've talked about it on the podcast, that this was something that was proposed a few years ago back when you were at USC, right? Can you kind of talk about that?
Yeah. I mean, the idea was kind of like that. The idea was to encourage athletes to graduate. There's not really as many eligibility issues and amateurism issues if you got a pot of money that's kind of just sitting there and then you get it when you graduate. So the thought was, this makes sense. We can deposit $5,000 or $10,000 or $20,000 or whatever it is, some kind of pot of money. We can do it for rowers. We can do it for swimmers, football players. But then it kind of started getting bogged down on who should get what and how much. And should the starting quarterback get more? What about the rower? And then it came into dollars and cents. It got a little bogged down. What if they don't graduate? What if I'm a 3-and-done person, go to the NFL? Why don't I get it? What if what if I transfer? And I think it started getting more complicated, and I think it got scrapped because of that. They just thought, so that's one of those things. It's that tip of the iceberg. It sounds nice in theory, but you start going to that under part, and it becomes complicated.
Right, because like let's say, for example, that this Georgia law comes into effect. It sounds like to me what they're saying is superstar quarterback Trevor Lawrence, okay, signs a $2 million deal with Gatorade. He doesn't get any of that money while he's in college, but that money goes into a trust that sits there. Then once he graduates, he keeps 25% of that money, but 75% of that money then gets distributed evenly with all the other athletes.
Yeah. Yeah, and then that's cool for the other athletes. I would think like the rowers and stuff are going to think, heck yeah, let's do it.
Right, he's because rower is going to be like on the face of Wheaties, whereas Trevor Lawrence could be like he could have his own Gatorade flavor or whatever.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But they're not going to – Gatorade isn't going to reach out to, you know, the second strings starting first baseman on the baseball team and say, hey, we want to give you the same deal we gave Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, yeah.
Which that's where I just don't – and not even, like, even if you talk about just the men's athletics versus women's athletics, like, how do you make it equal? I just don't know.
Yeah, there's not a great solution to it because I know what they're trying to do. Because if they didn't do that and Trevor Lawrence takes all of the money, it creates inequity and there's players not getting any money. And then there's jealousy and there's, I'm helping to defend this guy and he's getting all the money. I'm not getting any money. You know, I don't know. It kind of goes back to everybody wants the same goal, put more resources in student-athletes' pockets.
Right.
Nobody knows how to do it fairly and equitably. And because of that, they end up doing nothing. And it gets bogged down to nothing. And then there's fighting and then there's lawsuits. And, you know, it's one of those – I don't know. I mean, it always comes down to that tension between full equity, Title IX stuff, in a capitalist system. If you had a true capitalist system, it'd be like, sure, use your name, image, likeness. If someone's willing to pay you something, you get the money.
Right.
But then is that fair? Is that fair to the women's golfers, the women's rowers, the men's baseball team? That there's going to be a lot. There's going to be a few players on the team. But, you know, I don't know, you know. But maybe it is. Maybe it is fair. Maybe it's not fair. And there's that inherent tension. The NCAA hasn't been able to figure that out.
Yeah, well, I just don't think there's an easy solution, right? And so... So here's my feeling about this is that the NCAA, because the NCAA said we're going to have an answer by July 1st. What I think is happening is the Supreme Court with the Supreme Court v. Alston case that we've talked about many times on this podcast. And if you want to go back and listen to it, you're happy to.
We encourage you to.
We hope you do.
Yeah.
But we talked about and in fact we've even had other lawyers come on and talk about this case.
Yeah.
So this case. You know, this case is going to affect the NIL rules. It just by definition, it's going to change the way that NIL is treated with student athletes, right? And so I think the NCAA knows they probably said, look, this isn't going to go in our favor, based on the type of questions and kind of the direction the judges were asking the questions. So therefore, we're going to get out in front of this, and we're going to put new laws in place on July 1st. But gosh, I mean, if you're advising the NCAA right now, AP, what are you saying to Mark Emmert? You know, Emmert comes into your office and says, "Okay, we want new NIL rules. Make us a proposal. What do you think would be fair?"
Yeah, you know, it's going to be tricky. You're going to have a lot of Q&As and exceptions that come out. But if you had an initial set of rules. What you need to really get out of is the student, you need to get out of governing student athletes doing basic stuff on their own. A YouTube channel, selling their own t-shirts, using their name, image, or likeness to hawk a product. As long as it's legitimate and it's a real business and maybe the compliance office needs to do a quick little like business search. They're registered with the state or something like that. A few checks and balances in place. To monitor it, make sure it's not just some booster out of his garage just giving money. And then let them just kind of have a free market. And, you know, and maybe take it outside of Title IX in a sense of saying, hey, Title IX will control what the school does. This isn't the school doing anything.
Right. This is totally private.
This is private. Yeah. We're going to give everybody equal opportunity. You can meet with these people on campus as long as you schedule the room. And then if you're a rower, a volleyball player, football player, you can schedule the same room, the same times. We're giving full, complete access to everybody. We'll help everybody. You know, we'll hire a branding person that can help everybody with your YouTube channel and your social media, anybody equally, all sports. But it's up to you to earn what you earn and not earn what you don't earn. You know, it's not up to us to regulate equity of economics. We're starting to kind of reach outside into private world and equal it. And hey, there's a lot of inequities in life. You know, you're going to have an NFL quarterback that's going to be 20 times what some bench warmer is going to make, but maybe that bench warmer is working his butt off in practice too.
Sure.
right? But that's just the way it is. And so I think those same equities are going to happen in collegiate level. And you're going to have to just deal with some inequities in life, you know, because, I mean, you know, you want things fair as possible, but that's an even playing field. But you're not going to always make things equal unless you're taking something from somebody else. And I think that's just hard to justify. So that's what I would do. And I would have less exceptions for it. I would be like, hey, look, if you want to go down this model, then let's just go all the way down. Let's not poke a bunch of holes in it and say you can only make so much. We have to share some of your things. You can't sign these type of agreements. You can sign those type. Like, no. We're just going to vet, and this has to just be a real business that's really set up legitimately with the state. And if it is a booster that's kind of gaming something, hey, and it is what it is.
It is what it is. That happens.
Yeah, that's what it happens. If you want to get outside of the collegiate model, which you're kind of doing with this, then what's going to end up happening here, you have the Trevor Lawrences of the world and the Zach Wilsons, and those kind of people are going to make a lot of money. And then you're going to have a handful of basketball players, an occasional baseball player here and there. And everybody else is going to have YouTube channels, and they're going to have – you know, some social media following, sell some t-shirts, make a few bucks here and there. And in the end, after 3 or 4 years, it's going to be about the same. You're just going to have those elite athletes making some big money. And they probably should, because people are tuning in to watch those people. Right, and then, right. So the capitalist part of it is fair. And you haven't really damaged Title IX, I don't think, because you're giving full access. And if you're a breakthrough women's basketball player, you know, like Oregon's had recently, yeah, maybe she could do a Nike commercial and make $1 million. And hey, so there's going to be those opportunities also for women in other sports too.
Yeah.
And so Title IX, I think, can be – then that's what I would say. And I would – don't riddle it with a bunch of exceptions, because you're going to make it complicated on compliance. Compliance then is going to need a Q&A on all these things on how to instruct their coaches. Because when the coaches or the parents come and say, well, can I do this? Can I do that? I don't know. This is all new. I think you can, but I don't know. And I don't want to misadvise you. I need to go to the NCAA. You know what I mean? And so the NCAA needs to make this simple. And if they want to add parameters later, if there's complications, then you can add more rules. Like, hey, we're finding this is a problem. Let's get rid of that. We're finding this is a problem. Let's get rid of that. But start it off open. That would be my advice.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I think that the best way to do this is to just give the students accessibility to use their name, likeness, and image, to be able to make money off themselves.
Yeah.
And not put any regulations on it. In fact, I probably would even advise to try to have as little influence from the school as possible.
Yeah. As much as possible.
As much as possible. Keep the school out of it.
Yeah.
Let them go figure it out on their own.
Yeah.
And if they want to go do it, if they want to have a Twitter account, if they want to have a YouTube account, and they want to do some off-site coaching off, you know, during the off season or whatever, make some money on that, they should be able to do that. I don't Absolutely. Think there should be any problem with that.
No.
And I just there, but you're going to have to somehow regulate private companies coming in and paying money to kids, especially like the Phil Knights of the world, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you're not going to, there are boosters out there I know who are really tied in and who are uber wealthy. I know you guys dealt with a lot of those boosters at
USC. We had some billionaire boosters, right? Yeah.
And those are the guys that you're going to have to keep an eye on, right? Those are the families, those are the people that you're going to have to keep an eye on, because those are the ones that are going to try to game the system, mm-hmm, to get the better players to come to the bigger schools,
yep,
which is going to hurt the smaller market schools. And that to me, that's where the inequity comes in. And then also the other side of it, where the bulk of the money is going to be going to the football and men's basketball programs. And then we just go back to what happened in the NCAA tournament this last year. The difference between the weight rooms, right? But if you look at the amount of money that the men's program and the women's program are bringing in, but you have to have everything fair, that's where you have to have school involvement. So, yeah. But I just don't see how you do it. But I think you just say, okay, players, you want to make money off your name, on image? Go do it. No school involvement.
Yeah.
We're only going to be monitoring, making sure that there's no booster pay.
Yeah.
And if there is, then that's a violation.
Yeah, because I am nervous about that, right? I mean, imagine this, Spencer. You got a coach at Oklahoma, and he says, you know what? I know a buddy that has a company in downtown Oklahoma. Hey, dude, why don't you help us out? You know, I'm a millionaire coach. I'll write you a $100,000 check. You turn around, hire some of our recruits coming in.
Right.
Right? There, you know that kind of stuff's going to be happening.
It's stuff like that's already happening.
It's already happening.
And it's just going to get worse.
Right. It's going to get worse because there's going to be more avenues to put money into kids' pockets illegitimately. The NCAA wants to do this, and everybody wants to do this legitimately. We don't want it to turn into a recruiting scheme.
Right.
And I honestly, Spencer, I don't know how you stop that right now. And that's my concern as a compliance person. But I think it's cool that kids can get more money. They deserve it. You know, coaches are getting big money. Schools are getting big money. Some of the kids should get that money too. But I just don't know how you do it so it doesn't become kind of some kind of scheme.
Well, we'll see. I think probably in the next couple of weeks, we will have some more direction from the NCAA. At that time, maybe we'll chat about it a little bit more. Maybe we can have some compliance people on.
Yeah, we will.
To talk about, you know, it'd be, and I would be interested in having some kind of business marketers on to see what they kind of think about that. That could be another idea, to have somebody like that could, you know, sports marketing person to come in that could talk about it. So we'll try to have some cool guests on to kind of discuss this so that, you know, anybody out there who's interested can understand how this is going to change college sports, because it just is. This is going to change college sports in the long run.
It is. Yeah. And we'll have some compliance folks. How are you going to monitor it? What do you expect it to look like? What are your concerns about it? And we'll have some marketing people. What are you planning to do? How would you foresee? How are kids going to enrich themselves, do you think? How are they going to be used? You know, and so we'll reach out to some people, and maybe over the next 3 weeks we'll have a kind of a series on this.
That sounds good. All right, this is AP and Spence, two lawyers talking college sports, sports law in general. I thought that was a pretty lively discussion about the NIL rules, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's going to change college athletics forever, and it's going to be the hot button topic for the next couple of years and all of college athletics, absolutely. You know, and it's going to change the collegiate model. I mean, there's kids right now that are sophomores, juniors in high school that during college are going to make hundreds of thousands of dollars that they wouldn't have been able to make otherwise, which is going to be crazy, right? I don't know what it's going to look like. It's going to change the model. And once you let, like I've always said, once you let that kind of cat out of the bag, you really can't put it back in. So I think in some ways the collegiate model is about to change forever, but it's a cool thought, you know, and we'll see how it shakes out.
Yeah. Well, okay. So today we're going to have a rules ed section. And I know, AP, these are your favorite segments when we do a rules ed segment.
They are. I used to love rules ed the most when I would talk to the coaches and the players, because I found that was the way you do it. Microbursts of rules, and you give real world simple examples, and that will stick in someone's mind. And when that problem arises, they're going to know what to do.
All right. So here's the problem. Okay. So I like the way you kind of frame that, right? So we got UC Santa Barbara water polo coach got dinged by the NCAA here, because he basically, what they said, here's what we know: head men's water polo coach set in motion the events that led to housing and other impermissible benefits for a student athlete before enrolling at the university. Okay, so we don't know a lot of the facts here, right? So some of this is going to be speculation. But basically, from what we can read here, this seems like what happened was somebody who was going to be on the Santa Barbara water polo team was going to be coming to school but had not enrolled.
Yeah.
And the coach allowed that student athlete to stay or paid for that student athlete to have housing before he was enrolled. And then also some other benefits, probably some money for food, cell phone use, whatever.
Yeah.
So what's the violation here?
Yeah, so this goes back. Boise State had a major violation, one of the worst abuses of this a long time ago. This was probably back in 10, 12 years ago or so.
Not the Broncos.
You look at Boise State Broncos housing violation. And they had a serious one. And here's what happens. This is really easy to do. And I'll explain. This is especially sensitive in Olympic sports, where they they recruit international players and people that are coming from long ways away.
Right, right.
So here's what happens, Spencer. You got Jill that's coming from Sweden, and she gets a flight in, right? And she has maybe a summer class to take, or she has to do a few things. She gets into the area early. She has nowhere to stay, and housing doesn't open up until August 3rd.
Right.
And she's 2 weeks early. She's there from Sweden. And
she doesn't have any money.
Doesn't have anywhere to stay. Coaches start getting creative on, well, you know what? Don't worry about it. House with this person. House with this lady. House with a teammate in their apartment on the floor. So you're arranging housing, and which is a benefit, right? You're getting a benefit you shouldn't be getting, free housing, and they're arranging it so they can get those players in the area earlier, start helping them with their schedule and training and get them some food and get up to speed and get kind of an advantage of getting them there early.
Right.
And it's a complicated thing. This would happen all the time where kids would also screw it up and they would accidentally arrive a day or two early.
Right.
Into the area and like, hey, coach, I just got in L.A. And like, you got in L.A.? Well, the dorms don't open up till tomorrow. Well, I'm here. Where should I stay? Well, I don't know. You know, like, I didn't know you were coming in. That kind of stuff happens. And so coaches try to cover that gap time by giving housing away, letting people crash with people. You can't do that stuff.
Gotcha.
And so they have to then get their own apartment. They have to get their own temporary housing, their own hotel. They need to fly back home if they have nowhere to stay. They can't stay with the coach. They can't stay with roommates.
But can the coach, before they enroll, let's say that this happens. Let's say that a person comes in and they're 2 weeks early and they need a place to stay. Can the coach needs to say, you're on your own.
You're on your own.
The coach can't say anything to like, let's connect you. I'm going to connect you with this person. And what if the student athlete says, don't worry, coach, I'm coming in here. I'm staying in a hotel all by myself. I'm paying it for myself.
Yep.
But he lets the coach know. Yep. Is that fine?
That's fine. So, and this is the honor code thing, right? Like if a new player coming in is best friends with someone on the team, and without any involvement of the coach, kind of like Kara rules, and they're right. not forcing the captain, and they connect together and says, hey, I'm going to come and hang with you in L.A. for a week. We normally would do this. We've done this kind of stuff before. I have a history together, and I'm going to crash with you for a week before school starts. And the coaches didn't really know about it, had nothing to do with it. In that situation, it's probably fine.
Right.
Now, the coach – but what Boise State kind of did, and what coaches can get kind of dicey on, they start connecting people.
Gotcha.
Hey, we got eight recruits.
So you can't put the thing. You can't put the thing in motion.
Can't put it in motion. You got to just. It has to happen organically, and it was natural, and they've done this before. If they don't know each other, that would never be organic and natural. They shouldn't be staying together. But coaches always want to do that. Coaches are very eager to get people together, get them gelling, get it started. Let's get these kids here as early as possible. You're getting it a couple extra weeks advance notice and gelling and time, and they can kind of bond. But it's an impermissible benefit. It's totally fine if the kid comes themselves and puts themselves in their hotel and their own food. But it doesn't always work that way.
Right. Okay, so let me put this hypothetical at you. So my brother, who was on the swim team at BYU, he hosted kids. My brother's a gregarious kind of guy.
Sure, he was a student host.
He was a student host. So he hosted a couple of players who came in. Let's say in theory that those two really connected, right? Yeah. They became friends. But the only time they'd ever met was when this student athlete was on campus with my brother. And let's say that the two of them went off, the student athlete ended up committing to BYU on the swim team, but he wants to come a month early. And Daniel says to him, outside of the coach's knowledge, come on over. You can stay at my place, no problem.
Yeah, it's fact specific. I would say in that circumstance, it's probably fine.
Right, because they have a relationship.
They have a relationship that was organic,
and
it's not weird. The coach didn't snap. Coach is telling kids, hey, if you connect with anyone as a student host, we've got recruits coming, make sure you do this. We don't want any of that.
Right.
But if it's just truly organic and it happens, and I would probably get in front of the team. Like when I did Rules Ed on this, I did Rules Ed, Spencer, to teams on this specifically because it was a major issue actually. Track and there's other sports. I would tell
it sounds like especially with the Olympic sports.
Olympic sports, this is a problem. And so I would always say, hey guys, I would get in front of the team and the coaches. Look, I would just explain exactly that. If this happens organic, it's fine. And I would tell, but here's how I would get the coaches. And if you're listening, you want to know how to do the rules. Coaches don't always like this, but this is what you got to do. Student athletes, if you ever feel any pressure, undue pressure to connect, have someone stay with you, it's not organic, the coaches are involved, let me know in private and we will take care of the matter. And coaches, don't put yourself in that situation. Don't do it because I've given the green light to the kids to do it and they're not going to even have to say I'm not going to tell you who told on you. So don't do it. Just have nothing to do with it. Your kids need to come here when it's report date. And if they get in the area on their own, don't give them rides. Don't give them a hotel. Don't give them food. Don't let them crash with you. Don't direct them to anybody. Unfortunately, that's just the way it goes. Make sure your recruits know that. Tell them not to come here early until report date, and unless they know that, so there's no awkward interactions. I mean, that's how you would do it. Now, you're not everyone's best friend when you do that. The coaches are thinking, I could probably game this a little bit. Nobody would really know. But when things get gamed, all it takes is one of those recruits to say, I'm so glad Coach Kelly connected me with so-and-so and I was able to hang in Provo for a week and had a blast. Right? That goes out on Twitter.
Yeah. They all have, and like you said, right? You were monitoring, I remember you said this, that you would monitor the student athletes' Twitter and Instagram accounts to make sure that things were that there wasn't any impermissible things going on those accounts.
I would find that, and here's a good monitoring tip for people listening. What you can do for your high profile athletes or the athletes you really want to watch, set up an automatic feed. As soon as you get their account, as soon as they make a post, it automatically pings you with an email, have it go to your junk or some other folder, and then check it a couple times a week. And then that's what I would do. And I would have, you know, the high profile athletes, every time they tweeted, Instagram, Facebook, anything at all, it would come to me and I would watch it and look at it. And if I saw something that said something like that, whoop, we got a big problem. We got to nip it in the bud right now. And so that's kind of how that's a monitor. But you need to be checking kids' social media and coaches' social media. You're going to learn probably 75% of your violations through that manner.
All right. All right, well, that was a pretty good rules ed section. Yeah. Yeah, I like it. All right, another successful rules ed section. If there's ever a rule that you're confused about, have questions on, feel free to shoot us an email.
Yeah.
Where would they email us?
Yeah, there's a couple things. I mean, you can email me directly. Aaron Price. So my email is A Price. And then it's at WBGATTY.com.
That's right. You can email me. This is Spencer S. Kelly at WBGATTY.com. Or we also have a Gmail account, collegesportsattorneys@gmail.com. You can email us there. If you have any questions, if there's a rule that doesn't make any sense to you, feel free to shoot us an email on any of those emails and we'll try our best to answer any of those questions. So an interesting thing happened this last week with the NCAA women's golf tournament. So there are regional tournaments going on right now with different teams that have made regional tournaments. There was a tournament down in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Yeah.
The Bayou that had started, and there were about 13 holes into the tournament when the tournament was abruptly canceled because according to the NCAA officials, the course was no longer playable. Now, the problem with that is that the men's teams were still playing on the course.
Yeah.
And the women's teams were cut. So essentially, the teams that were the top six teams, the top six seeded teams, mm-hmm. automatically advanced. And all the other teams that were there to play in the regionals, you know, who knows what would have happened. They were just immediately cut. And then the top three players went forward on the individual side. So there's a lot of people pretty up in arms about this thing, and this just seems to me like this is the same issue that happened with the weightlifting during the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, for some reason there's kind of this pattern now of women's sports not getting the same, whether it's not as quality or it's smaller or it's overlooked, and this is, I mean, a lot of reasons. These are the reasons for Title IX. Because I could see without Title IX, let's say Title IX wasn't a rule, a lot of women's sports would be cut, they would get the worst of the worst, they would have less opportunities, and it just wouldn't be equitable, and it wouldn't be good for society in a lot of ways. And, you know, these teams got to get this stuff right. They you have to have the grounds the same facilities, the same quality. It doesn't matter that it's a woman or a man. I mean, it's a team. It's an athlete. It's a human being playing that sport. You got to do it the same. You got to have everything on the up and up. You got to do it right. You have a daughter, Spencer. I have a daughter. You can imagine if they were playing sports and they were treated differently, you wouldn't like it.
I wouldn't like it at all.
You know, and
heads would roll.
And so let's go, man. We're better than this, and let's get it better. Let's do it right. You know, what are your thoughts? What do you think should remedy this?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, I think if you're going to be playing on a and from what I read about this course, the problem with the course was there were some added puddles. Yep. It had rained.
Yeah.
The course wasn't that well maintained. Well, guess what? That's golf. I mean,
That's golf.
That's golf. Yeah. You play sometimes on courses that aren't great.
Absolutely.
And even tournaments that aren't great.
Yep.
I mean, you know.
Things happen.
So play the game.
Yeah.
Like, there's no need to cancel a tournament
no.
because you determined it, the fact that they were still allowing the men's players to play and to play on the course. That to me tells me that there was some inequity here. So you play golf on courses that aren't pristine. That happens.
Yeah.
I bet you none of these girls who were playing in this tournament, they probably all grew up playing golf on all different kinds of courses.
Yeah.
Courses that were country club, high-end country club, to the local par threes. You play golf. Let's go. Let's play.
Yeah.
So to me, that's what this comes down to is, okay, it's not playable. Well, you can't say it's not playable if other people are playing on it.
So either is or isn't playable.
It is or isn't playable. But if it's not playable, then you got to know that beforehand. They were only 13 holes into the tournament here.
Yeah.
That's something that they should have figured out earlier.
Yeah.
And then to automatically move people on, I get there's time crunch and stuff like that, but just play. Just prove it on the field. I'm a big believer in prove it on the field. That's why that's just kind of where we are right now, as you said.
Yeah, so it's just a strange. Men and women were treated differently. It's not good. I don't know what the heck happened. I know when I play golf, Spencer, I mean, I'll be at the local ping and putt that's got like, you know, pizza and burgers, and you got that windmill that you have to hit it through that little ball. You know, you've done that.
I've done that.
Yeah. And I'm going to play that whether it's got dust, dirt, rats. I mean, you name it. I'm playing. And no one's going to kick me off that course. And so for some reason, this got bungled. I think management didn't handle it well. And if you don't prove it on the field, it's really just, so you might as well just. It's a voting system. It's a beauty contest.
That's right.
And it's not as fun.
Well, we'll have to monitor it, see if what kind of, I'm sure there'll be some remedy, but it seems like, because it's an Olympic sport, it seems like maybe this just might be unfair and just might not really even get a remedy. So we'll see.
Yeah.
A couple other things we want to talk about before we go. Number one, unfortunately, your JMU Dukies, the James Madison Dukies, lost, got beat by the Sam Houston State Bearcats.
Yeah.
So, We both had the same championship game in the FCS championship. We both had JMU versus South Dakota State.
Yeah.
So, but I had South Dakota State winning, and you had JMU winning.
Yeah.
The ergo de facto, I have already won.
You won.
If South Dakota State wins the championship on Sunday, which I suspect they will, go Jackrabbits.
Yeah.
I
agree.
I will even more, even strongerly win, right? Is that a word?
Yeah.
I will even win by more.
This is
a full beatdown.
Yeah.
But the South Dakota State just demolished Delaware, 33-3. And then Sam Houston State, JMU, was a close game. I watched the game, actually. I watched some of it. And the Bearcats were tough. Friend of the show, Bearcats, right?
Yeah, definitely.
And we should have gone with our friends of the show. And instead, now it's Sam Houston State versus South Dakota State on Sunday. So, I'm going to give you a chance to redeem yourself here, okay?
Yeah. Because right now I have to wear this jersey.
Yeah, right now you have to wear the BYU jersey next Friday. I'm going to bring it for you next week.
Yep.
Okay, so here's what we got. We got Sam Houston State, South Dakota State. I'm picking South Dakota State. They're 4.5-point favorites. If you pick Sam Houston State, and they win the game outright, not cover, but win the game outright, you don't have to wear the BYU jersey.
Okay, that's fair.
Are you taking that bet?
I'm going to take that bet.
Okay.
I'm going to take that bet.
So if South Dakota State wins by 1 point, I still win. You got to wear a BYU jersey next
Friday. If not, and I win, you have to wear the USC jersey next Friday.
No, wait, no, hold on. No,
do you like that?
No.
You like that?
I've won the turn. Okay, I won. So I'm just giving you an out. So you don't have to wear the BYU.
I got you. Okay. I see. Okay, so yeah. So
I've won.
You've won.
I'm now being generous.
I'm trying to make it equal.
You're trying to make it equal.
Yeah.
That's not what happened. Okay. Here.
All right. That's fair.
So the game is this Sunday, 11:00 a.m.
Okay.
On ABC.
All right. So check it out. Because otherwise I'm going to be wearing that next Friday. We'll take a picture of it. But I don't think so. I think my team's going to win.
You think the Bearcats are going to
win? And we'll just caught a draw. I don't lose, Spencer, when it comes to predictions, right? Okay. But somehow this happened. But we're going to fix it.
Okay. All right. The last thing I want to talk about before we go is our favorite NBA team, I think, for both of us is the Blazers. And the Blazers are now in a situation where they're half a game up on the Lakers. The Lakers have 2 games. Blazers have 1 game. We play Denver at home on Sunday. The Lakers play, I think they play the Pacers tomorrow. And then they play, like, the Kings on, or they play the Pelicans on Sunday.
Easy teams.
So two easy teams. If the Lakers win both those games, they're the sixth seed, and we have to, the Blazers have to play in the play-in game. If we beat Denver, well, let's see. If we beat Denver and the Lakers win both their games, we're the sixth seed because we have the tie break.
Yeah.
If we lose to Denver, then we're the seventh seed. We got to play in the play-in. If the Lakers lose one of these two games, which could happen, then we're in. So, prediction. What do you think is going to happen here, AP? Yeah. You're the guy with the crystal ball.
Yeah, so, you know, I feel like what an awful loss, a bad call, awful loss the Blazers had against the Suns last night. I mean, I didn't have the opportunity to watch the game. I had it on my phone. I was watching the score, and I saw it hit 0-0-0 on my phone, and the Blazers were up 117-116. And I literally told my wife, I said, Blazers won. And then I look at it again, more time added, they lost.
Yeah.
So something funky happened.
So there was a foul. I watched the game. So essentially what happened was Devin Booker got the ball with about 4.5 seconds left. Blazers are up by one. First of all, before we got there, Robert Covington gets fouled with 4.4 seconds left. Because immediately. Anyways, it was kind of an interesting thing that happened. But Blazers had the ball with about 6 seconds left. They tried to run a play so that McCollum or Lillard got it. And, of course, the Suns were all over them. So, instead, the ball went to Robert Covington. He goes up, and he misses both free throws. You have to freaking make your free
throws. I mean, at least make one.
At least make one. So, he misses both of them. So, the Blazers are up by one with 4.5 seconds left. Phoenix advances the ball. They pass the ball into Devin Booker. Somehow, they got it to their best player. And Devin Booker then goes up, and you know, Powell kind of put his hand in the candy jar, nicked his elbow. Nick, like, literally grazed his elbow.
And usually at the end of the game, you don't call
that. You don't call that, but he did get him on the elbow, and they called a foul. So Devin Booker goes. Now, Stotts had a timeout left, so he challenges the call. Therefore, Blazers didn't have any more timeouts. There's only 2 seconds left. Booker goes up and hits both shots, both free throws, ball game.
So kind of bad clock management, bad defense, bad free throw shooting, ball game, and you lost a critical game. Because now your backs are against the wall against Denver.
Denver, which is a good team.
Yeah, and Denver has a lot to play for, too.
Still do.
So, my prediction is I would not be surprised Blazers don't beat Denver.
Yeah.
Play a tough game against Denver, don't get them. And they're in the play-in game. They're the number 7 seed. I think the Lakers went out. I think they end up in the 7 play-in game. They're going to play the Warriors, I think, right?
Yeah, so they would play the Warriors and then the Spurs and the who's the other team?
Memphis?
Spurs and Memphis would play. So then the winner of – so then we'd have to beat Golden State and Steph Curry. You never know what happens with that guy.
He can go out for 50.
It's just like that. Like so, nothing.
Yeah. I don't – that's not a gimme game by any means. No. But if you get past that one – so the Blazers have got themselves in a tough spot. And that's – I hope it doesn't happen this way, but my prediction is they're going to end up in the play-in game. They're going to find a way to win the play-in game.
Yeah.
Get in the playoffs, but then they're in a tough spot. You know, you're playing like Phoenix or Utah in a tough battle. You know, and the Blazers – I think the Blazers gelled and got healthy too late.
Yeah,
they were really great.
They've been on a tear. I think they've won 9 of their last 10 games. Yeah. They're playing really well. They've beaten good teams during that time.
Yeah,
you know, a lot of people were kind of counting them out, saying they were going to be in the play-in game and be out.
Yeah,
but now they could. I mean, if they got the 6th seed, they're now either going to be the 6th or the 7th seed, right?
Yeah.
So they're going to be the 6th seed more than likely. They're going to be playing the Clippers. You never know.
Clippers are not unbeatable.
They're not unbeatable. They're good. They're good with Kawhi and Paul George, but Paul George can get cold, and you know, and so you never know. But it's too bad because I think if they would have won that game against Phoenix and then beat Denver, they would have been the 5th seed, and then they would have played Denver. And I like our chances a lot better against Denver than against the Clippers.
I do too because, I mean, the Clippers, I mean, you have a couple of superstars. Kawhi Leonard's won a championship. Those guys can turn it on.
Right.
It's going to be really tough. The Blazers are in a tough spot. And what do you do with the Blazers if they're first running out?
You got to make a change. I think Terry Stotts might be gone or potentially you got to find somebody that can do something
there. Yeah, you have to shake it up. Maybe
got to find trade. a better four. I think they thought Covington was going to be the guy. He's really erratic. Nurkic can't seem to stay healthy.
Right.
And they need a stronger three. They need a three with some.
Yeah.
With a little bit more talent.
So hopefully they can do it. Yeah. This is Damian Lillard time. He's going to have to carry this team to at least the second round. if you can't get out of the second round, if you're in the first round and you're out, you can't count that as a positive season, I don't think. And that's just a disappointing season. But the Blazers have a lot of talent. If I was a team, I would no way want the Blazers first round at all.
That's right.
And so we'll see what happens. I'm excited, but that's my prediction. What do you think, Denver Blazers?
I think the Blazers win. I think they figure out a way to win the game and they're the sixth seed. That's my prediction.
And they have Clippers. What do you do for Clippers?
I think we're out 4-2. I think they win that series. I think the Clippers are just too good.
So. Yeah, I agree.
All right. Well, keep an eye on everything, and you guys stay safe out there, okay? And for heaven's sakes, you know, hug your loved ones today, you know?
Yeah. Hug your loved ones. You know, you never know when there's changes in life that happen, you know? And
it's kind of a morbid ending, huh?
Yeah, morbid ending. But you know, life can be good, but it's ever-changing.
That's right.
And so enjoy the moments. Enjoy this weekend, Spence, right? Enjoy your family. Have some fun this weekend.
Likewise.
And get away from work for a bit if you can. And then we're going to hit it again on Monday. And then we're going to see if we can get a good compliance officer on the line for next week from a big school, maybe a Pac-12 school.
That sounds good.
Let's get going.
All right. Take care, everybody.
See ya.